Imagine waking up with blood on your hands, literally. The kitchen floor stained crimson, a dead man at your feet, and the terrifying realization that you've just killed one of the wealthiest, most untouchable men alive. This is how we meet Calypso, Lilis, a young woman whose desperate act of self-defense against her abusive stepfather sets her on an extraordinary path. With trembling hands, she summons the mysterious bargainer using a business card with peculiar instructions. When he appears, stunning with white blonde hair and gleaming silver eyes, he asks only one question: did he deserve it? Her tearful nod is enough. The bargainer helps her, claiming it's his pro bono case for the century, and disappears with the body, leaving Callie alone but free. 8 years later, Callie has transformed from victim to avenger. As a full-fledged siren, she uses her glamour, a magical compulsion that forces compliance, to extract confessions and justice from wrongdoers. Working as a private investigator specializing in supernatural cases, she targets men like Mickey, who stole $220,000 from his terminally ill mother. After recording his confession, she commands, "You are going to right your wrongs. You're never going to do this again, and you are going to spend the rest of your life working to be a better person." But her carefully constructed life shatters when she discovers the bargainer, Desmond Flynn, lounging on her bed one night. She hasn't seen him in 7 years, despite the bracelet of 322 black beads encircling her wrist, each representing a favor owed. Now he's back to collect, and his timing couldn't be worse. Callie has been dating Eli, a respected lycanthrope law enforcement officer who represents everything stable in her life. Realizing she can't escape her past, she breaks things off with Eli, admitting she's been using his warmth to forget the cold embrace of another. Des wastes no time putting Callie to work, clearly relishing his power over her. He reveals magnificent, silvery, bat-like wings that seem to absorb moonlight and flies her to an upscale furniture store. His magic settles on her shoulders like a lead cloak, compelling her forward with increasing pressure as she's forced to purchase absurdly extravagant items: a four-poster bed with silk hangings, a massive chandelier dripping with crystals, a velvet love seat costing 3 months' rent. When it's over, only two obsidian beads vanish from her bracelet. Through flashbacks, we learn how their relationship evolved from that first desperate bargain. What began as one favor became many, rows of beads circling her wrist as Callie invented reasons to summon Des. He would appear in her dorm room, take her for coffee at Douglas Cafe on the Isle of Man, watch movies with her, even rescue her from nightmares. Most touchingly, he escorted her to the May Day ball at Peel Academy, where they shared an intimate dance. When Callie noticed his tormented expression and asked what was wrong, he answered simply, "Everything, Cherub, everything." In the present, Des reveals why he's truly returned. He needs Callie's help. Something sinister is happening in the other world. Fae and humans are disappearing, and only women have returned, neither alive nor dead. Des explains that while Callie's glamour gives targets no choice but to comply, his power allows people to choose death rather than reveal secrets. Some of his subjects are choosing death rather than sharing information. Des takes Callie to his floating city of Somnia in the Otherworld and shows her a warehouse containing hundreds of glass coffins with sleeping female warriors. Deep beneath his castle, they visit a royal nursery where casket children have been isolated after complaints they were feeding on other children. When Callie sings to calm them, they respond as one eerie collective, revealing their father is the thief of souls who likes pretty things and likes to break them. Their touch sends Callie into a vision, falling past cages of women, flying through a forest, seeing a strange man with chestnut hair who calls her a pretty, pretty bird. Des finally reveals the truth behind their 7-year separation. Callie's final wish? From flame to ashes, dawn to dusk, for the rest of our lives, be mine always, Desmond Flynn, was granted. But magic demanded a price. 7 years of forced separation, a magical binding preventing Des from reaching out until the debt was paid. The mystery of Des's wings becomes a relationship turning point. After learning that fairies only display their wings to their soulmates, the most sacred, intimate gesture, Callie confronts him. His response transforms everything. A fairy shows them to his soulmate. In raw honesty, Des confesses his love began years ago, when she was that obstinate teen with way too much courage. He shares dreams of their future, marriage, children, a life bridging both worlds. Their bliss proves brief. The morning after their intimate ceremony, a stranger with golden hair and cerulean eyes appears. Despite her trained reflexes, his magic overwhelms her. The last thing Callie registers before losing consciousness is Des's anguished cry. Callie wakes imprisoned in a rock-walled cell, one among countless women captured by a being named Karnan. During her meetings with him, his behavior is erratic, sometimes gentle, sometimes cruel. When she attempts escape, he forces corrupted magic into her, leaving her deathly ill. On another visit, he pins her down and releases all his magic into her at once. The pain is unimaginable, bones breaking, muscles ripping, skin flaying. Her skin splits along her spine as something emerges from her back. When the magic finally abates, she discovers she now has sharp black claws, golden scales on her forearms, and bloody wings. As she lies there in horror, Des arrives. When Karnan attacks, the bargainer's wounds heal instantly as his magic builds, gathering darkness around him. "I am the dark," Des declares, before his power detonates, obliterating Karnan completely. Des carries Callie home after her transformation. Horrified by her new form, she feels monstrous, but Des calls her beautiful. When her wings prevent her from sitting up, Des brings her to a mirror. Looking at her reflection, she sees she's still recognizably herself despite her wings and claws. "People like us are not victims," Des tells her. "We're someone's nightmare." His words reignite her spirit, and she asks him to teach her again how to be dangerous. Rhapsodic explores the power of acceptance. Callie transforms from victim to someone powerful, yet struggles to accept her darkness. Des accepts her completely, her trauma, darkness, and abilities. He doesn't try to save her, but encourages her to embrace her power. Their relationship defies conventional heroism and villainy. Des, the Nightmare King, balances terrible violence with tenderness. Callie, appearing innocent, harbors darkness and a thirst for justice bordering on vengeance. They form a partnership based on mutual strength and acceptance. As Callie tells Des in the final pages, "I'm not afraid of the dark anymore." She's learned darkness isn't something to fear, but to embrace, a part of herself and the man she loves.